broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
The detectives were able to do numerous interviews, and through the...
Just wait.
I'm old school with new ideas.
So when those, to me, dumb rumors come up...
That is a threat on the radio.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. That's right. Every night, man, through the looking glass and beyond, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They know it. We know it. You know it. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. If you're not watching this show as well as listening to it, you're just missing 75% of the show, to be perfectly honest with you. We're online with live streaming video every night, and we have thousands of hours of downloads and archived material as well. Get a backstage pass. Get with it. Walk into the 21st century with your chin high, your shoulders back. And if you're gonna subscribe to something online, the only thing worthy is our show. You can subscribe to all the porn sites you want, but you know what that's gonna get you. That's right, a venereal disease. Now
what?
Well, some of the, they may believe it. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Is Sarah Palin killing innocent animals in the name of ratings and politics? Well, let's hope so. Anyway, Aaron Sorkin and PETA think that she is. Aaron Sorkin, now he's a television guy. Why would you be surprised at that, Mr. Sorkin? Of course she is. Of course she's doing it for ratings. Wouldn't you? Anyway, more info on the Ronnie Chasen murder. Plus, Oprah talks about the lesbian rumors. 877-876-PHIL and PhilHendryShow.com. And I want to start with the Ronnie Chasen story because I was, as you may have been, if you're following the story, and I am, taken aback. I was stunned. My eyeballs bugged from my head. You say whatever you want. When I saw here that the Beverly Hills police have now said the ballistics do match the gun that Harold Martin Smith used to kill himself last week. The gun used to kill Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen most likely is the same one that a person of interest, Harold Martin Smith, killed himself with last week. Now, that is a little bit of a backstep from what they said today, which was it is. So I would ask my producer, give me the latest story on this, including what you told me, because I don't know if it's in it or not, Jason, the fact they said he was on a bicycle. Oh, here it is. It's in here. Despite coverage that has speculated Chasen was killed as part of an elaborate plot, police now believe Smith, an ex-convict, simply rode a bicycle alongside Chasen's Mercedes-Benz and opened fire as she waited to make a left turn off of a Sunset Boulevard. Chasen managed to drive off where she later crashed into a light pole. Police added that no shell casings have been found. We believe that Mr. Smith acted alone. We don't believe it was a professional hit. According to Beverly Hills Police Chief David Snowden, acting on information from a tipster to the TV show America's Most Wanted, police sought to question Smith at his home in Hollywood. And that was at the Harvey Apartments, you remember, on December the 1st. Before they could talk to him, though, he shot himself to death, splattering the apartment lobby with blood. That's a detail that ABC could have left out. They say most likely, because the ballistics report is technically preliminary, they say most likely this was the gun used to kill Ronnie Chasen. Here is Beverly Hills Police Chief David Snowden announcing these ballistics results.
Our detectives requested the release of the weapon used in the commission of the suicide to be turned over to the LASO lab for analysis. The ballistics comparison was to be conducted. This morning, the crime lab at the LASO firearm section notified us that they have a preliminary ballistics result. The weapon used by our person of interest matched the evidence from the Chasen homicide.
Beverly Hills Police Sergeant Mike Publicker told reporters today the department's working theory. Now, here is their working theory on the Chasen murder.
The detectives were able to do numerous interviews, and through the information obtained in the interviews, it appears that he did act alone. There was a question posed earlier of whether Mr. Smith knew Mrs. Chasen. It does not appear at this time that there's any connection between the two. We believe that his mode of transportation was by bicycle. This was a random act of violence with Mr. Smith's background. We believe it was most likely a robbery gone bad.
Chasen, as we mentioned, managed to drive off. They haven't found any shell casings. I don't know whether that means he picked them up or what. Acting on information, as we mentioned, from a tipster on America's Most Wanted, they went to the apartment. The tipster at that point wanted to remain anonymous, and they're going to respect that, as will America's Most Wanted. Might have been one of those people in the apartment house. This guy was talking to everybody.
Well, he told everybody that he did Ronnie Chasen, getting $10,000 for it.
Yeah. Well, you think the guy was crazy then, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought he was nuts from the beginning. I still think he's nuts. And I remember saying to you guys last week, I didn't think it was a hit because it doesn't sound like a very private place to kill somebody. Just drive up next to them in the middle of a lit intersection. But I don't know. I don't know anything about it. But the fact that the cat killed her on a bicycle, that I didn't see that one coming. And that it was him, you know, he sounds like some crazy man who was riding his damn bike. And just open up. I don't even know if he asked her to open the window or open to, you know, to roll your window down, give me your money. I mean, was there a conversation between the two of them? Did she start to take off and he fired at her, you know?
I'd like to know if the guy got any military.
Has he got any what?
Military. I mean, if he had a close pattern, if he got any weapons training, you know.
Well, we'll find out. That's a good question. Smith boasted about committing the murder. He claimed he had $10,000 coming to him for the crime and said he would not be willing to return to jail. He had a long criminal record. In the aftermath of his suicide, residents said they doubted Smith when he took credit for Chasen's murder. They noted that he was tall but of slight, unimposing build and that he regularly was seen riding through the neighborhood on a bicycle, wearing gray gardening gloves and sometimes acting strangely. Anyway, in the rest of this stuff you guys know, LAPD removed a bicycle, or Beverly Hills Police, rather, removed a bicycle from the scene of Smith's suicide that they would be delivering to Beverly Hills for analysis. Beverly Hills Police repeatedly emphasized the ballistics results matching the gun was preliminary and that the investigation continues. That's why they won't say absolutely for sure it's preliminary. The cops complained of erroneous information. Previous reporting on the killing has suggested it was the work of an expert assassin. Today, the police had another story. We don't believe that he was a paid hitman. This was a random act of violence. With Mr. Smith's background, we believe it was a robbery gone bad. Though the interviews and the information we received, that lead us to believe that he was a desperate point in his life and was reaching out and doing desperate measures. Earlier reports that ballistics had failed to link the guns in the two crimes also were incorrect. That was wrong. It was erroneous information. Meaning, they didn't get it wrong. It was reported wrong.
What's that mean?
It means that they might very well have linked the murder weapon to, you know, the bullets to the gun that guy had.
Yeah. So what?
So they was reported wrong is what I'm telling you. They didn't say it. Whoever reported that they didn't, that the ballistics showed that they did not match. That was the wrong report, but it wasn't that's what Beverly Hills was saying. You understand?
I don't understand. Beverly Hills, they're not going to say something wrong.
Who?
Beverly Hills Police.
The Beverly Hills Police didn't say anything wrong. That's what the guy's saying. He's saying, we never released any information on this, either yay or nay. We never said that it's this or that. Whoever said that it didn't match, we didn't say that. That's what the guy is trying to say. Get out of here. So that's case closed, man.
Yeah, well, you're still wrong, man.
By 2 weeks. I said they'd have it wrapped up in 2 weeks, and I was wrong by 2 weeks.
But yeah, but how do you know? That's a lucky guess.
A lucky guess? How many people were going to say that the Beverly Hills Police would wrap this thing up in 2 weeks? I'm the only guy that would say that. The only guy. There wasn't anybody else who was even going to speculate. Right away, I knew they're going to have this thing wrapped up.
Yeah, well, you were wrong. It was 4 weeks.
Oh, well, 4 weeks. There wasn't anybody that would even tell you 4 weeks. ACLU asking Tennessee schools to celebrate holidays, not just Christmas. Dateline Johnson City, Tennessee. The American Civil Liberties Union is urging school administrators to prohibit Christmas parties. Superintendents across the state receiving a letter from the pain in the ass ACLU today, reminding them of the law.
Pain in the ass.
ACLU of Tennessee Executive Director Hedy Weinberg says the group is not against holiday celebrations. No, not at all. Just celebrations that focus on specific religious beliefs. It is a friendly reminder, Hedy Weinberg said, before we sue you and sue you until you bleed. Our goal is to ensure that when these celebrations are done at the school, they're done in a way that all the students can feel they can participate in them. The ACLU says, you know, I never felt like the kids were not participating in the Christmas celebrations we had at my school.
Really?
Yeah, except it was a Catholic school, so.
Do they have Jews?
A Catholic school? I don't think we had any Jewish kids. If we did, they were Catholics. The ACLU says school-organized celebrations of specific religions are a violation of the Constitution. Don't do it! Well before Johnson City Schools learned of the letter, the communications supervisor there, Dr. Deborah Bentley, said, yeah, we know. Thank you very much. Thank you. We do not celebrate a specific religious holiday. Tell the ACLU everything's good. You don't have to get your gear up, man. It's all good. We won't have any fun. We'll have a holiday celebration. What would you suggest? What would you suggest, ACLU? Because, you know, I can make the point that now what you're encouraging is a pagan celebration.
Wait a minute. You got a point.
That's right.
Well, I don't get it.
I'll tell you what I mean. First of all, if you're encouraging a holiday celebration, well, there has to be some basis. What are you using? What kind of ritual are you using? It can't be Christian, can it?
No.
Can't be Jewish. Wouldn't be Jewish. Although I suppose the Hanukkah is a holiday celebration. It's not going to be Muslim. It's not going to be Kwanzaa. It's not going to be any of that stuff because it cannot be something that makes people feel left out. So what's left? What do you celebrate? What kind of pageant?
Well, you know, like the, what do you call it, solstice.
Oh, the solstice, huh? What's that supposed to mean? What do you mean, solstice?
Yeah, like the longest day. I mean, the shortest day.
Shortest day? Based on, why do I celebrate that? What's that? Is that religious?
No, it's just, you know, it's day. Look, it's like a short day.
So what if it's a short day? Why should I feel good about that? Why do I feel happy about that? I hate that. I can't stand it, as a matter of fact. If you want my honest opinion, celebrating the winter solstice makes me want to blow my brains out of my skull because I can't stand darkness. I like light. I like summer. My favorite time of the year is summer. You understand?
Yeah, but I mean, they're saying like the winter solstice.
You knuckleheads don't understand what I'm talking about, do you?
No.
I'm talking about the ACLU is basically saying have a holiday pageant. They're talking about revert to pre-Christian times, make it about paganism. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, wait a minute. You might have something there.
You better believe I got something here. Paganism. That's right. Back in the days when it was a, when we were, what do you call it, pantheistic or pantheistic.
What's that mean? Celebrate like a pan?
That's right, man. We worship pans. No, pantheism is the multitude of gods. Polytheism, if you will. A multitude of gods. Sun god, moon god. Sun-up god, sundown god, fog god, light to moderate eye irritation from smog god, all them gods. So that's what the ACLU wants us to do. I suggest that a countersuit is filed. If you Christians really want to outsmart these people, you file a suit against the ACLU. You say, what do you mean by a holiday celebration? Well, you know what we mean. No, we don't. No, you're going to have to define it. What do you mean by a holiday celebration? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I will not have my child involved in a pagan celebration. You're talking about a holiday, meaning what? Do we have food? Well, sure. Based on what? Based upon those days when the tribes got together and exchanged foods on the event of the whatever the hell, the solstice and the pagan and the elf king or whatever they were doing? Go ahead, ACLU. Tell me what kind of... And they very smugly will say, you know what we mean. No, we don't know what you mean, and you better spell it out there, lawyer. Spell it out, smartass. See, if you are going to adhere to the Constitution of the United States of America, you can't have any celebrations. Because celebrating a time of the year bespeaks a spiritual or religious celebration. Because it harkens back to a time when we did celebrate before Christianity, before monotheism, before Islam, before Judaism. We still celebrated a spiritual holiday. It had its roots. It was informed by a spiritualism. It was paganism, but nonetheless, it was a belief in supernatural beings. So if you want to do it the right way, ACLU, you can't have any celebrations at all. So why don't you guys just go ahead and take credit for the following? You have completely destroyed any sort of celebratory mood around this time of year in our schools. That's what you want. But you won't come out and say that because that would make you the Scrooges that you are. So what you say is, oh, well, a holiday celebration would be fine. Well, what do you mean by that? You're going to have to define a holiday celebration. Now, if there's any Christians listening to me, you got any brains at all in your head, that's the way you attack it. That's the way you do it. We'll be back. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
That's fantastic, Mr. Henry.
No, good. Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show.
You know, Shakespeare is the one who said, these are the times that try men's souls. He wrote that. I don't know whether that's part of Richard III or it was Henry IV. But these are the times that try men's souls. Or maybe he didn't write that. Maybe that was the same guy that wrote, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their parties. But these are the times that are trying men's souls. These are the times when common sense, you can't really rely on common sense because we have to go by the letter of the law. And I agree. I want the law to be tested. I want our great Constitution to be tested. I want all of these laws to be tested. I want all attitudes to be tested. I want even the stupid to have their day. Is Sarah Palin's Alaska using animal hunting controversy to improve TLC's ratings? Aaron Sorkin and PETA are on the attack. Is Mama Grizzly willing to kill just to improve her Sarah Palin's Alaska ratings? Now, let's answer that question. The answer is, of course, yes, because everything you do on a TV show or a radio show is intended to improve your ratings. Everything you do. Just like everything you do when you go to work is intended to make you money and hopefully make you more money. There's no shame in that. That happens to be the reason why we go to work. Oh, yes, of course we love our jobs, but you'd be surprised at how little you love a job you don't get paid for. You'd be surprised how more difficult a job is when you don't make any money doing it. You may love the hell out of it. One of the reasons why you love it, maybe, is because you can make a living on it. If you can't make a living on it anymore, you may not want to do it anymore. To ask a question, especially a guy like Aaron Sorkin, who I'm told has television experience, is she doing it for ratings, is about the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. People for the ethical treatment of animals think so. They're not sure, but they think, wow, we're on to something now. You think she's doing it for ratings? I don't know. Why don't you do a white paper on it and get back to us? Producer-writer Aaron Sorkin says Palin is worse than Michael Vick. Now, there's more of that great American hyperbole we're used to here in the early part of the 21st century. Hitler's not enough. We can't just say, for instance, that Bush or Obama is Hitler. That's almost meaningless. It's so asinine. However, you can come up with the Michael Vick, comparison now. You can say that someone who is hunting legally, and maybe donating the meat to poor people, which generally is what happens in many of these locales where people are, bagging some of this big game, and they have it slaughtered, and they have it basically shipped to areas where people need the food. They need the meat. Sometimes it's donated to native people. Sometimes it's just given to poor people, to poor people's shelters. It's not like Sarah Palin's going to leave it laying bleeding in the snow. She's going to take it. Have it professionally, what is the word that they use? Have it professionally dressed, I think.
What do you mean?
That's what they say, it's professionally dressed.
Well, I don't know, so they put a hat on it?
Put a hat on it? They're slaughtering it, okay?
Yeah, what they call it dressed for.
They ain't putting a hat on it, are you out of your mind? So they professionally prepare it. Now, none of that means anything to a guy like Aaron Sorkin, PETA, or anybody that is even remotely related to any of them, because to them, hunting is tantamount to, if you're a hunter, you might as well be a concentration camp guard circa 1942. That's the same thing. There's no difference. I know what I said is ridiculous, but that's what these asses rely on. On the latest episode of Sarah Palin's do they put a hat on it?
I didn't know what you meant when you talk about dressing it.
On the latest episode of Sarah Palin's Alaska, the former governor and her father go hunting for deer. A daughter and her father hunting for deer. You know, indeed, she shoots and she kills a caribou. Then helps skin and quarter the animal so they can bring home as much meat as they can carry. In a post on the Huffington Post to Sarah Palin, Aaron Sorkin, who acknowledges he eats meat and wears leather because he's just a dumbass from Hollywood, writes, like 95% of the people I know, I don't have a visceral look-it-up problem eating meat or wearing a belt. But like, oh, I can't finish this?
We'll come back.
All right, when we come back, I'll finish this delicious deer meat. I mean, this story about Sarah Palin. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. And they dress it. They put it in a suit. With Brooks Brothers slacks and shoes.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, so anyway, I'm going to get back to this because this is, if you'll pardon the expression, this is the meat of the matter here. We're talking about Palin and the fact that she shot a caribou on her episode of Sarah Palin's Alaska. And now not only PETA, there's no real rhyme or reason to why PETA does what they do other than the fact that they want to make sure that people know they exist. So they will do such low base things as use the murder of a kid in Canada, a guy that was butchered alive by a madman and had his head cut off on a bus. They'll use that in their ads to protect bunny rabbits. So along comes the Huffington Post, and they have printed a piece, I think is what they call it, by Aaron Sorkin, who's a television producer. Now, Arianna Huffington, you've probably noticed, is starstruck. This is a woman who she's had actual professional photographs taken of herself as if she's a movie star. She will print anything that any movie star or any TV star anywhere writes, no matter how utterly stupid it is, because she's excited by that kind of contact. So she'll take an Aaron Sorkin because she thinks she saw his name on a credit somewhere, maybe Fantasy Island, something she was watching 2 a.m. one morning. And, oh, my God, let's put Aaron Sorkin on the Huffington Post because he wrote a piece about what a piece of crap Sarah Palin is. Now, this guy is talking about Palin getting her kicks killing animals. He says, I certainly don't want to volunteer to be one of the people that kills an animal. If I were picked to kill one, in some kind of a lottery from hell, I wouldn't do a little dance of joy. He says to Ms. Palin, you weren't killing that animal for food or shelter or fashion. You were killing it for fun. You enjoy killing animals. He says, I can make the distinction between the two of us, but I've tried and tried and tried for the life of me. I can't make a distinction between what you get paid to do and what Michael Vick went to prison for doing. Now, Sarah Palin shot that caribou, and they butchered it, and they're going to eat the meat of that animal. Now, I don't know the difference. Somebody can help me. The difference between shooting a caribou and slaughtering it and keeping that meat in the freezer and eating that meat and going to the store and buying an equal amount of meat to eat, putting it in the freezer.
Well, you don't have to kill the one in the store.
Oh, you don't have to kill the one in the store. Thank you very much, bud. Thank you.
Why?
Well, that's what Mr. Sorkin says he does. He says, while he insults Palin's intelligence, when he says he uses the word viscerally, he says, look it up. It's not that impressive of a word, Mr. Sorkin. Most people don't have to look that one up. But he says that he doesn't have a problem eating meat, and he wears a belt. In other words, he eats meat and he wears leather. So somebody else kills the animals that he eats and the animals that he uses, and that makes him better than Sarah Palin, who will shoot the animal because he doesn't enjoy killing animals, but he does enjoy their death because he enjoys the byproduct of their death, their meat, which he gleefully eats, I'm sure.
Maybe he don't gleefully eat it.
That's right. Aaron Sorkin must be bawling like a baby every night when he has a steak or whatever the hell he eats, or when he puts a belt on.
Probably. Well, you don't know. He might be sad. If he's in Hollywood, he's being in Hollywood, leather pants make him sad.
Yeah.
Leather pants make him sad?
Well, yeah, because he's in Hollywood, he might probably wear leather pants.
If he goes to a club in leather pants, it probably would make him cry.
So I just want to get this straight, bud. Aaron Sorkin puts on leather pants to go to a club at night and weeps because they...
What are you laughing about?
What am I laughing about? The guy puts on leather pants to go to a club and he's crying because he's wearing leather pants?
Well, why do you think he'd enjoy it?
Well, look at man. I may be dumb, man, but I ain't that dumb. You know, like the saying goes, I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Don't sit there and tell me that you're high and mighty and morally superior to someone that kills a deer while you eat meat and wear leather, meaning somebody else can do the killing for me because I will not do it myself. That makes me better, not only than Sarah Palin, by the way, it makes me better than the guy that killed that steer or the guy that skinned that cow so I'm wearing a belt and eating steak. That's Aaron Sorkin. He's better than the guy that's doing his killing for him. Can you believe that a man would sit down and pen garbage like this and then allow it to be printed? And I'll tell you something, Mr. Sorkin, Arianna Huffington, that's just the broad to do it, man. Like I said, she's starstruck. She'll print anything written by anybody that even smells like Hollywood money. And there you are, man, for all the world. The dumbest jackass I've read today with your little piece here in the Huffington Post. I don't like killing animals. I agree. I eat steak. I'm just like you. Here's the difference between you and me. I don't parade my hypocrisy for the whole world in a post on the Huffington thing.
What's it called, anyway?
The Huffington Post. I guess it's his thing is called a essay. Why don't they call it a post? Then he goes on to attack her for killing the caribou for money. That was the first moose ever murdered for political gain. You knew there'd be a protest from PETA, and you knew that would be an opportunity to hate on some people, you witless bully. Here's a guy that's calling a woman names for doing what other people do for him as he eats his meat. And you'll pardon the expression. The activist group PETA believes the ex-Alaska governor is spending so much small screen time clubbing halibut and quartering caribou because she's trying to improve her TLC show's numbers. What is it? Clubbing halibut?
Yeah, that's what you do.
What's wrong with that? Maybe, you see, you could also buy fish from fish farms. There's all kinds of ways of getting fish. While we're on the topic of fish, you can go to a fish farm. Well, I wouldn't buy fish from a fish farm if somebody had a loaded shotgun to my head. I wouldn't do it, okay? They're swimming in their own filth. I won't go there. I only buy fish from, I try to buy fish, line-caught fish, from our good old-fashioned American fishermen. But guess what? I don't eat that much fish because I can't find that much of that. Every time I go to a supermarket, I'm looking at China, Vietnam, this, that. I ain't going to buy that crap.
Why don't you buy any Chinese fish? They know all about fish over there.
What do you mean they know all about fish?
Well, they got on a fish farm.
I don't want to buy fish from a fish farm. I wouldn't buy Chinese fish, man, with your money. Forget it.
But what are you going to buy? But you buy Canadian fish.
No, I don't buy Canadian fish either. Well, I know we're on in Canada. Yes, I do buy Canadian fish. I buy American and I buy Canadian, but I don't buy none of that Chinese stuff, okay? And frankly, I don't buy anything. I don't eat fish. All right, so here's this jackass who says, and that what a terrible thing, clubbing halibut. Well, you can either catch your fish with a damn fishing pole. You can buy fish that have been fish farmed. I guess you can get fish that have been caught with nets. I don't know. What's the most humane way, man? Is it catching it with a line? Is it what? Some of these people, and here, this is what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you the bottom line right now. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Here it is. This is a generation, I tend to think it's the aging baby boomers who are also influencing a large segment of the younger people, but they are a community of people, and I'm not quite sure how large they are. They believe that the quantum leap in human behavior and intelligence, that moment has arrived, it's now. And why do they believe that? Because like many people who are going to die soon, my fellow baby boomers, they think the world is going to come to an end if they don't do what they got to do, see? So everything revolves around them. And they believe the quantum leap in American and global intelligence is going to take place. And America is where it's going to have to be led because everybody else is too stupid. But they wouldn't say that because that's racist and they would never admit to that. But that's kind of how they feel. Now, with this quantum leap in intelligence and behavior comes the following things. We must, simply must, get off of fossil fuels now. Not someday, now. Because like I said, the baby boomers and their offspring, they're all going to commit suicide up in a mountain in Montana if it doesn't happen. Number two, we must equate animal life with human life now. We cannot evolve this philosophy. We can't wait for people to get up to speed on any of this stuff. Right now, you have to accept that a dog is equal to a person. Something like that. I'm not really sure, but I think it's pretty much like that. Number three, the idea that guns are a tool to be used in self-defense, this is absolutely anathema, and they've lost that fight. But if you ever want to have some fun, go on Facebook and mention that for Christmas you bought your daughter or your son a little toy gun and watch the jackasses come out of the woodwork. It's amazing.
Yeah, I remember that one time you did that and all them ladies.
Yeah, all them ladies is right, man. I said something about, I don't know, toy guns. I forget what I was talking about. And one after the other of the dumbest human beings I think I've ever seen in my life, and it is Facebook, so it's a sure bet. Talking about how guns are bad toys for kids. So in other words, and I posted, I said, gee, it's nice to know that we've evolved past 1981, not, which we haven't. So all of these things have got to be done, and they got to be done now, and they don't give a damn whether you're ready to accept it or not. They don't give a damn whether you're ready to make the quantum jump or not. It must happen. Look at that. Otherwise, what's going to happen? Why, we may actually defend ourselves against barbarians using the weaponry and the tools of violence that we should use. Why, we can't have that. When they saw 9/11 happen, they realized the quantum leap in behavior and intelligence must happen. We should all just be groovy and peaceful right now, man. Even if it means standing there while all those around us are slaughtered. You think I'm kidding? That's exactly what they want, man. PETA, there's not a thing about them that makes any sense. And to listen to a man like Sorkin, who, you know, I'm surprised the guy admitted that he eats meat, you know.
Yeah, but he didn't say what kind. He said it.
All right, bud, that's very funny. The fact of the matter goes, a guy like Sorkin sitting there and saying that Sarah Palin has a moral problem and he's eating meat and he's wearing belts and he's morally superior to her, and the guy that goes out and kills his steer for him, I can't even believe this guy. Did anybody pre-read this, sir, before you submitted it to, because you know Ariana's going to publish it. Next thing you know, she's going to be calling you up to see if you'll produce a pilot.
I don't know what you're talking about. Dressing a deer, you know, but clubbing a halibut, I don't see anything wrong with that.
I don't see anything wrong with clubbing a halibut either. Or you can catch it on a line so it just it can suffocate while it's laying on the deck of the boat. How about that? Would you like that? Or maybe we just don't eat fish, so we're down to no meat, no fish. What's next, man?
You can eat broccoli, but you can't. You torture it.
What do you mean torture broccoli? Get out of here, will you? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah! You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
That's Aaron Sorkin, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he looks like a douchebag, too. What do you think of that?
You gotta watch out, man. I mean, you still gotta go out and, like, be an actor and all that stuff.
I gotta go out and be an actor, huh? I ain't gonna go out and be nothing, man. Here is where I live, this is where I sit, and this is where it's all going to... I'm here, and this is where I will remain. He wrote a good movie, The Social Network. We love that flick. And that's the thing about these cats that are not public spokespeople or commentators in the classic sense, in the sense that I am. Because that's what I am. I'm a satirist. I'm a commentator. I do it every night. I do it 3 hours a night. I've got experience at it. I know my thing. You know, I know the timing. I know the whole thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I are good at it. I talk good and everything.
I know.
But a guy like Sorkin, why, he writes a good movie, but when he opens his yap to say something in the venue what I am in, why, he sound dumb, he do. All right, Supreme Court appears divided over state laws against illegal immigration. Well, maybe you guys ought to get with it.
I don't understand about how they got nine, but they're all deadlocked and everything about that.
Well, this is this Elena Kagan. I don't get this. Elena Kagan, who came for the Obama administration, announced she would not participate in the decision. That set the stage for a 4-4 split, which would uphold Arizona's law but set no legal precedent. You know, I don't understand how she got approved if you know, one of the biggest rulings to come down the pike in years on immigration, and she happens to be nominated and approved, advised and consented and kicked in there. And she can't take part in this because whatever the hell they call it. It's a conflict of interest. The Supreme Court showdown over whether states can aggressively enforce laws against illegal immigrants may have ended in a draw Wednesday. If so, Arizona's 3-year-old law that cracks down on employers who knowingly hire illegal workers will stand. They have until April, folks. That's when the Supreme Court recesses. It could serve as a model for other states and cities that seek to adopt stricter enforcement measures. But if Justice Anthony M. Kennedy joins his more liberal colleagues, as he did for part of Wednesday's argument, it could signal trouble in the future for other laws targeting illegal immigrants. They include Arizona's law that requires police to check the immigration status of suspicious people who are lawfully stopped, which could reach the court during its next term. At issue Wednesday was the fate of the legal Arizona Workers Act, which imposes the so-called business death penalty on employers who are caught twice knowingly hiring illegal, blah, blah. You know the story with Arizona. Let's get out of here. Here's the point. They are debating the constitutionality of a state passing immigration laws when it is the purview, when it is the supremacy of the federal government is within their the bounds of their administration. The federal government controls the borders, right? Right. But what happens when the federal government ain't doing its job? It would appear to me that the states then it's incumbent upon them. I don't know. Maybe that's unconstitutional. Maybe somebody, and these are brighter people than me, will say, well, no, Phil. Yes, while it is, of course, the right of the people to protect themselves and protect the borders, it's not the federal border that they're protecting. They're protecting their... So if Arizona wants to protect the border, they have to protect the whole damn border, the whole federal border. Well, what are you talking about? Lower courts upheld the law, but the Obama administration and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce joined in arguing the state law should be voided because it conflicts with the federal government's authority over immigration. But... those challenging the law were at a disadvantage Wednesday because the new justice, Elena Kagan, who came from the Obama administration, announced she would not participate in the decision because it is a conflict of interest, because she had been opposed to that law when she was a part of the Obama administration. So she is, and I suppose rightfully, removing herself from the decision-making process. I just don't understand how anybody so actively involved in such a controversial issue was automatically just with, you know, go ahead, man. The stakes were high, as has been more than 30 years since the Supreme Court ruled on a clash between a state and the federal government over immigration. Such clashes have become common in recent years as states and cities consider new enforcement measures. Kennedy often cast the deciding vote in close cases, but did not say definitively how he would decide. If Kennedy follows near the end of the argument, he said he agreed with criticisms voiced by the three liberal judges. If he follows the view, he could cast a fourth vote to strike down Arizona's law. Justice Antonin Scalia took Arizona's side throughout the argument. He said the state was forced to adopt strict measures of its own because of the lack of federal enforcement. That's what I'm looking at. It's the only option the state had, he said. Arizona faced serious trouble financially because of unrestrained immigration. The federal government has simply not enforced the immigration restrictions. And his fellow conservatives joined him. Now, are we not talking about what's going to be in the best interest of the American people? What's going to address the problem, you know?
Well, what do you know it's going to be like in the future and everything, you know?
What do you mean?
Like, they could say it's okay now that Arizona has a law, but that might make it worse later on.
Well, all right. What Bud's saying is they might rule it is constitutional for a state to take these steps if the federal government is not doing the job. But what does that mean down the road when other issues of federalism versus states' rights come to the fore? In other words, we believe in federal supremacy, but who exactly makes the decision that the federals are not making, they're not doing the job, see?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you can tell they ain't doing a job on immigration.
Well, yeah, it would seem that any sane human being would look at what the federal government's doing with immigration. They're not getting the job done. Not getting the job done. But, you know, it may not be so cut and dried with other issues. And that, so that's a good point, Bud. That's one of the few.
I make good points all the time, and you guys don't ever talk about it.
You mean like the whole Lord of the Flies thing?
You brought up Lord of the Fly.
I didn't. Lord of the Fly.
Yeah, that movie that guy was talking about.
No, that was Jeff Downer was talking about Lord of the Fly. Yeah, but I heard you saying that was a good idea, and it's called Lord of the Flies. All right. Anyway, it's April when this whole shooting match. At least April is when the Supreme Court will recess. I think we can trust that they'll have a decision by then. And if it's tied, that means Arizona then is boom, boom, ba boom, ba boom. Arizona's in the clear. They say there's no legal precedent. That means that they cannot use any ruling from the Supreme Court or the federal government to say, aha, look how they ruled in the Arizona case. It wouldn't exist. Phil Hendry Show produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Charles Wygan. Our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. PhilHendryShow.com. PhilHendryShow.com for all your Phil Hendry Show needs. Woo!
Phil Hendry. Aaron Sorkin.